One man can change the world with a bullet in the right place.
Welcome back to the New to People podcast, proudly sponsored by Stuff and Things, makers of fine stuff and things. Check them out online. And in case you're wondering, my name is Max Fallis. Give it up for me, goddammit. As we go down another episode of Zeros and Ones and Two A's. And when I say we, I mean...
Who the fuck is that guy?
Well, it's the one and only Mr. BBR Bagman. Sir, how are you?
We're back for another one. I can't wait.
The fun...
Lots of interesting things to discuss this week.
The fun don't stop. Just because the episode does... And we're episode 29. That's right, ladies and gentlemen. And, well, if you fall in between, you too. We're traveling along here. So far, the current title is TBD. And we'll figure it out once we get down that road, y'all. So what's on your mind, Bagman?
First and foremost, we got a couple of shout-outs this week, right?
Yes. Make sure I get them in now and not edit them out later, as I did in the previous episode.
Flamour. Eddie and Charlie, thanks for listening lately. We appreciate the feedback on the podcast and all your support.
Yes, thank you. Sorry for editing your names out of the prior episode, but you're back. We're back.
It's okay. I'm willing to do it more than once if that's what it takes.
You know what? That was too easy. That was too easy. I'm just going to let that one go.
Nice.
Yeah. So.
Want to see me do it again?
Wait, where's the other button?
Hell no, nigga.
There it is.
So lots has come out in the last week since we recorded the last episode on the subjects we recorded in the last episode. So which one do you want to tackle first? The things we're getting out of SHOT Show or the continued shenanigans with the brace ruling?
Let's do the shenanigans so we end on a nice high note for our listeners.
I like it. Mm-hmm. So with the ATF brace rule, it has come out since we've now had a little more time to actually dig through the 200 some odd page document of bullshit that they intend to enforce the 88 day rule. So for the folks operating under the auspices of the ATF being an honorable organization, har har. If you think they're going to conduct themselves in a fair and reasonable manner and not just screw you at every opportunity, let me explain the 88-day rule. They're already struggling with this, and basically the rule is that if they don't give you an approval within 88 days, it is an automatic denial, and a denial is grounds for prosecution. They now have, what, another 10 million people flooding this system based on their actions? That's what they anticipate. That means there's no possible way 90% of those applications are going to get processed in that 88-day period. It was a setup from day one.
Okay.
They want you, so the folks trying to file for the free form one, most of them aren't going to get processed within that 88-day window, which means they're going to be automatically denied. And because you sent them photographic evidence of your felonious firearm, they now have everything they need to prosecute you because you provided them with your name, address, serial number, and photos of your firearm that is now in violation of their rule.
Okay. My first question is there any verbiage that stops it from sounding so sinister and obvious? So you're being denied, and by being denied, you're automatically guilty of... What? Like, is there grounds for a denial that says, okay, well, we did a background check and we saw that you have...
No. It's based solely on they didn't get it done in time. They didn't process it within 88 days, so you're denied by default. And somehow that's your fault, not theirs.
Yeah, that was my thing. Like, okay, so if I send a certified letter to wherever the hell this is of my... Mm-hmm. You know, like, I have proof that I mailed it. I have proof that it was in the system, and I have proof that it was out of my hands. Why am I in trouble?
Because the game is rigged, and it was never intended for you to win.
So you get nothing. You lose. Good day, sir.
The next part is, if you had a 922R compliant pistol, 922R applies to imported firearms, so things like AK type pistols, Draco pistols, those sorts of things that had a brace on it when it was manufactured and imported, guess what? You're no longer in compliance with 922R. So there's another violation on the federal level.
What if you remove the brace?
Doesn't matter, because that's how it was manufactured.
Okay, I'm going
to
ask.
And you have to have a certain number of American-made parts included in that firearm to keep it within compliance.
Whoa.
So now you're losing one of the American-made parts, which means, fuck you, pay me.
Is the American-made part requirement part of the importing of the firearm from that country?
Yeah, that once it's imported, it has to be converted. And but according to that, it's all SBRs anyway, so... In for a penny, in for a pound. Again, we're not lawyers. This is not legal advice. This is just all the nonsense that goes on around this. The other one that I found really interesting, and we should probably put a link to Forgotten Weapons video in the show notes, but I watched a video from Ian over at Forgotten Weapons, and he breaks down the original NFA ruling and where all that came from and how it was originally intended as a ban on handguns. So the only reason SBRs and short barrel shotguns are included in this regulation with the $200 tax stamp and all that nonsense is because they were trying to ban handguns, and they didn't want to create a loophole for someone to just cut the stock and barrel off a rifle and say, look, it's not a handgun, it's a rifle, and then commit nefarious deeds with it. They said, you know, we're going to include that. Well, lobbyists at the time pushed back and got the handguns taken out of it, but they kept the part about the SBRs and short-barreled shotguns. So You gave up on the main goal, but you kept the peripherals, and now you're jamming people up on the peripherals that shouldn't even be an issue, because the only reason they were an issue was because you were trying to go after a loophole for something that did not get banned in the long run.
How you make my head hurt?
Really? This is what makes my head hurt.
Okay. I'm trying to find logic, and I know that's stupid to do in this type of situation.
It has no business in this conversation.
Yeah, I'm trying to think of it from a different angle of, like, just to, I mean, again, this is not legal advice, but I'm just trying to think of it.
It's got no place in the conversation, my man.
Okay.
Live long and prosper. Logic should rule. Yeah, forget it.
Illogical.
I got to go down rabbit holes and just walk my thoughts out. What, if any, grounds for denial, other than them not getting to your paperwork in time, have been issued, presented, detailed? Like, you can be denied for X, Y, Z. Do we have that at all?
I have no idea. Okay. I have no idea.
Okay.
And who knows? Because everything they do is so arbitrary at this point, it's hard to anticipate what their next move is going to be. And yeah. Again, if it follows a set pattern or made any kind of fucking sense, you would be able to follow that track of thought. But since it doesn't, it's absurd. Right? You can't predict American doctrine when they don't follow their own doctrine.
Yes. Like that's
the famous military quote.
That seems like on the very surface, a failure of due process. Because if you're denied something, there should be grounds for that denial. What are you denied by? Like, when you get... I know. I'm making the bagman...
No, it's
upset.
Okay.
I'm just trying to see, like, the angles and just walk it all the way through so we end up
where we are,
you know what I mean?
Walk it all the way through, okay? The government came up with this scheme, right? They created a problem where there wasn't one. They couldn't hammer people enough with that, because now their rule wasn't adjusted for inflation and people can actually afford the exorbitant $200 tax. They're setting another trap. That's the key word. It's a trap. And a couple of people are going to have to get jammed up and then show, when it goes to court, that this was nothing more than entrapment. The government set up a nonsense plan that they had no possible way to actually follow through on, They could not hold up their end of the bargain. So they set people up for failure, made them felons overnight, and then prosecuted them because they couldn't deliver on their promise for the free tax stamp.
But wait, there's more.
Next question.
And then use the evidence you provided, the information you provided, to prosecute you when you were acting in good faith.
What are you?
An idiot sandwich.
Idiot sandwich.
What I'm hoping is that this sorry.
No, it's okay.
What I'm hoping is that this becomes the straw that breaks the camel's back. This is the thing that pushes the NFA over the edge, that pushes the ATF over the edge, and finally people get fed up. There's a politician from Florida, Matt Gaetz, I forget how it's pronounced, who's got a proposal to defund the ATF. I don't think that's going to happen outright. The same as like anti-gunners can't ban guns outright. Yeah. We're going to have to find a different way to decrease their budget, decrease their staffing, decrease their availability of funds, decrease their reach, and crush them a little bit at a time. But I'm hoping that because they took such a big bite with this one, that they fucking choke on it.
Maybe they
and the lawsuits that push back on it are going to crush them.
Oh my God. I am never going to financially recover from this.
You're thinking that they underestimated the numbers of and the impact of this.
I think they underestimated the blowback from it.
Okay.
I think that's the problem. And I think there's going to be a lot of people who get jammed up on this because instead of taking the simple route and going, okay, I'll get rid of my brace, even though it's bullshit, I'll get rid of my brace. The people that fell for the free tax stamp trap are going to get jammed up. And when they do, they're going to have a right to a trial. And from those trials, we'll bear lawsuits against the agency, charges of entrapment because of the way this scheme was run around. And that's what's going to cause the ATF and the federal government to lose a lot of ground on this issue.
Next question. Is there, it's probably no, but I'm going to ask it anyway. Why the 88 days? It's not even 3 months, like 90 days. Is there a reason?
I have no idea.
Okay.
I can't answer. We would have to. Is there a reason? Maybe. Do I know what it is? No. Do they often do things just, again, arbitrarily without any reason whatsoever? Sure. Mm-hmm. Maybe it's 88 days specifically so that it is less than 3 months.
Yeah.
I don't know.
And is the verbiage specifying business days or just 88 days, period?
88 calendar days.
Calendar days. Okay.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure it's 88 calendar days. They don't have the staff to complete the applications coming in now.
I know we're not lawyers. We do not offer any legal advice. In your opinion, how viable would a class action suit be in this case?
I think they're already out there.
Okay.
I think they're already out there. Yeah. Firearms Policy Coalition is all over this. NRA, whether you believe them or not, is claiming to be involved. NRA historically hasn't been real good on issues as they regard to the NFA. And that's part of why like the younger generation really doesn't care for the NRA at this point.
Mm-hmm.
Because they're kind of the old guard of FUDs and those kinds of things. And they were willing to let a lot of stuff slide legislatively. So they're not as good as they claim to be on a lot of things. But you have plenty of other organizations out there, Gun Owners of America, Firearms Policy Coalition, some smaller ones that I'm not sure if they're involved yet, but are rattling the sabers. They're probably getting ready to get involved. Are throwing a lot of money at a lot of lawyers to attack these problems on our behalf. So it's going to be a fight. I don't think this is over by any stretch. I think a lot more information is going to come out continually over the next several weeks and months as it pertains to this. And I'll be very curious to see what happens when the first ATF raids over braces start. Because that's what they're promising. They're promising, it's domestic terrorism. Like, they're threatening people with violence.
The popular phrase was, they're coming for your guns. Then it was, no, they're not coming for your guns. And then now they're literally saying, we're coming for your guns if you don't do
see that. I think that's a misnomer too. They've okay. never been after the guns, right? They weren't after guns. They weren't after bump stocks. They're not after braces. They're not after short barreled rifles. They're after you.
Pledge allegiance to that, my brother.
Yeah. The gun won't do prison time. The gun won't be charged a fine. The gun won't go and get locked up. The gun won't have its front door kicked in and get dragged out in front of its children. You will. They'll do that shit to you.
Yeah.
They'll violate your civil rights.
My next question.
They'll stick you in the worst possible scenario you can imagine.
And make a fucking...
And try to make an example of you.
That's the word I was trying to think of. Example out of you. Just like, you know, back in the older days where they'd hang you in the fucking town square and let everybody see it. For sure. Scare tactics. My next question, again, just really trying to wrap my head around everything and see different angles. In the classification for the brace, is there requirements for size or length that would classify it as such? Like, it's like, okay, well, what if we cut this thing down in half? Does it still qualify to be this illegal item?
The brace?
Yeah.
They basically said either it's no.
Okay.
No. So what they're saying is if you attach one of these devices that were legal and were approved by the ATF, then now you've manufactured an SBR because of the barrel length and all this other stuff. And they created this janky point system where you're accruing points towards the total. And they set that standard so low that it's nearly impossible to not go over. So if you have a pistol grip and you have a buffer tube and you have a Picatinny rail and you have a barrel length of less than 16 inches and an optic requiring eye relief.
What? So
you put a scope on your gun. You put a scope on your gun to be more accurate, and that runs you afoul of this law.
Wait.
Make that make sense. And you're trying to be safer and more accurate.
Optic requiring... Say that again?
An optic that requires eye relief. So that means a certain distance from the scope to function properly.
Oh, that's
so any magnified optic is called eye... Right.
Okay.
That's called eye relief. Why they latched onto that term instead of just saying any optic with magnification would have made more sense. But, you know...
It's again, very
that's not the business they're in.
Odd language. Like, I've never heard one referred to as an optic.
It's almost intentionally confusing. You know, so I guess a red dot doesn't count. Is that what they're saying? I don't know. I don't know, because you can hold that anywhere and it doesn't matter, right? It's still this, but an optic with magnification, you have to hold in just the right spot to get a proper sight picture.
It's all nonsense. Maybe it's because it improves accuracy for range because you've magnified and now you could see a further out target.
So improving accuracy is a bad thing now?
Well, if you're afraid of being on the other side of that eye relief optic, yeah.
Okay, but here's the thing. We already said that this is for short barreled rifles, which are inherently less accurate than longer barreled rifles that are not regulated and can have an eye relief scope. So are you worried about someone sniping with a short barreled rifle? Like, that's an oxymoron. There's a dichotomy in that logic that the Venn diagram doesn't overlap.
Okay, hold on.
Let me
try another one.
Max, I love you, but stop trying to play devil's advocate. He doesn't need one.
Well, I mean, if I don't, then the conversation will get kind of boring. So at least let me throw some ideas out there to inspire some thoughts and conversation here. We got listeners, bro. We just can't sit here and just say, fuck, this sucks. All right, I'm going to bed. I'll see you in the morning.
Nice. No, but we can talk about the new trends coming out of SHOT Show if you wanted to talk about that.
All right, let's pick this motherfucker up then, because shit, it's getting depressing. There we go.
Nice. Now
let's get back to the Autobots, man. Let's just cheer this up.
So the big trend a couple years ago was the bufferless uppers and bufferless firearms, which really means the buffer is contained in the upper. So things like the Manco 9, There's a bunch of compact firearms from CMMG. There's a bunch of them out there, right?
Mm-hmm.
There's the Bren. There's a bunch. Anyway, it seems like the trend this year is, and it's funny to me, tactical lever action rifles with detachable box magazines. So I've seen a couple companies that are making like lever action ARs.
Okay.
So the you've got like a standard magazine in that. Patriot Ordnance is doing a lever action rifle, again, with a proprietary detachable magazine. That seems to be the big thing. It was a little weird to see so many of them at the same time. It's almost like somebody sent an email that this was going to be the cool thing this year. What's going on here?
Or maybe they're trying to avoid a coming storm by dumbing things down and already getting
that's
to market early, yeah, on a
cue the X-Files music. Because that, are they trying to give us options that don't fall under an assault weapons ban? That don't fall under NFA rules? Are we going backwards on the technology to go forwards with our rights?
Sounds like somebody got wind of a possible coming storm. If you're saying it like, because again, I wasn't at SHOT Show, and well, sadly, neither were you. But if the floor is like filled with these things peppering, that's what it kind of sounds like to me.
Yeah, it was interesting. That seems to be the trend. The other thing that seems to be going backwards is for a long time you had everybody going from metal framed handguns to polymer framed handguns,
mm-hmm,
and now everybody who's got like a very popular polymer framed handgun is giving you a metal framed option of that same handgun.
What do you think?
Which again seems to be going backwards, right? About. Like it's, I don't know. It's an interesting trend. Everything old is new again.
That's true. Could it be cost of materials?
I don't know. And then highly customized, like fancy schmancy stuff.
Like that Louis Vuitton AR.
Like the Louis Vuitton AR. I've seen a lot of like cartel type guns coming out,
mm-hmm,
with gold and silver and filigree and all those things. And there was Black Rambo was all over it. It was a Walther that was done up in like an alligator skin.
Okay. Is that the handgun that I sent you on Instagram?
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
Some Pintor, because it was all nice. Alligated out. Yeah. Okay. I mean, obviously,
you're saying Serpentor. To me, that's an obvious croc master sidearm. But
yeah. I see scales immediately. I think snake, and then I knew you're a G.I. Joe fan, so I just made the connection, sure, that way. I mean, obviously, if you have a trade show, you're trying to have a wow piece, and much like guitars and motorcycles, like sometimes you just build shit just to look at it. You know, who cares how well it shoots? Right. It's, you know, eye candy, gun porn, which is one of my search engines on Instagram. Because I like looking at these things and the different designs and all the cool features. So aesthetically, as I've said before, like that's usually my first box that needs to be checked. So I can see that. But that Louis Vuitton,
though. Not because you should, but just because you could.
Yeah, no offense, but that Louis Vuitton was butt ugly. I've never been one for putting like... I'm old enough to remember when Dapper Dan came out and it was all over the hip hop world, and you know the whole relationship with that. If you don't know who Dapper Dan is, he was a clothing designer in the early days of hip hop that literally brought the high end fashion to the street. You can Google the man and watch his. He was an immigrant, as a matter of fact. I believe he was from Haiti, like first generation. Mm-hmm. You know, not to sound racist, but fresh off the boat, because it's a term. And he literally brought the high-end, he was the first one to bring the high-end fashion brands to the hip-hop world. And the funny part was, this is totally unrelated to firearms, but it'll relate at some point. He literally would just buy the fabric and make the clothes himself. So
right.
It technically wasn't copyright infringement.
Right.
Which is great.
He paid for the fabric.
Yep.
He bought it from them, yeah, and had the right to do whatever he did with it after that. Sure. Yep.
So if you go back into like late 80s, early 90s hip hop fashion, and you see Louis Vuitton and Gucci, all these brands on the hip hop guys, that was all made by him and not official, you know, merchandise. And they actually came after him after a while because he was getting so big and so popular from it. I wrap this all up to say some of these boutique, stylish, fashion-looking guns are just a bit over the top. But that's just my old man taste. You know, I don't like hot sauce on my chicken.
That's racist.
I like very bland vegetables. So
hold on. You're the same guy who was showing me pictures of the Mountain Dew rifle today, right?
Gotcha, bitch.
Yeah. But it's aesthetically, it was pleasing. It was aesthetically pleasing, the Mountain Dew rifle. It only had the logo on the magazine. It was tastefully done, just little pops of red with a green base.
Oh, was it?
It wasn't extreme like your Viper Troopers from G.I. Joe. You know, it wasn't that. It was definitely a Mountain Dew AR, but shout out to that guy, whoever owns it, if he owns it. Max approves.
It wasn't code red, so it was okay. It was the classic Mountain Dew, right?
You ever see the blue Mountain Dew?
Yeah, I've seen it. It's unsettling.
Yeah. Yes.
It looks like something that should go into the windshield washer fluid reservoir in my car, not into your body.
Clean your window to the extreme.
Yeah, pretty much.
All right, so
the other one that bothers me is the Captain Crunch waffles that are blue.
Oh, God.
Yeah, yeah. Somebody thought it would be okay to make blue waffles and sell them as food.
Yeah. It's literally
as if that was not a longstanding internet prank for years. Oh, blue waffles, go search it. And you end up in a really dark section of medical history.
What was the we're derailing, but there was a cereal that sent kids to the ER, and I want to say it wasn't Fruit Loops, but it was something circular.
Was it Oops Just Crunch Berries and Broken Glass?
Yes.
I don't know.
Those commercials were awesome too. Little Jimmy at the table. I forgot what it was, but anyway, let's get back to the topic. What else popped up on your SHOT Show radar, sir, that is worthy of mentioning?
I think that was it. Magpul is going after their, I think it's their FGC, I think that's what it's called, the folding flashlight pistol.
That little briefcase-looking thingy?
The little briefcase-looking thing, yeah. That they announced like 20 years ago and then never actually launched.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm curious to see, you know, why they're doing it now, unless somebody found it in the warehouse and was like, oh, we should bring this to SHOT Show again this year and get people excited for nothing. Like, literally, they showed it off 20 years ago, and Nerf made one that was released on the market, and Magpul never sold theirs. I don't know how that works.
I wonder if there was a no-compete kind of clause when Nerf bought the rights to the design.
I don't think that counts as competition. You're in completely different markets.
I'm just trying to, you know, think outside the box here, you know, because like
you're just doing everything you can to make excuses.
Well, this is supposed to be an interesting.
It's admirable. You're really trying.
I want to entertain you, the listener, just riding in your car, sitting in traffic, listening to two grown ass men laugh and giggle about firearms and breakfast cereals. It's got to be entertaining some kind of way.
The Firearms and Breakfast Cereal Podcast, brought to you by General Mills and Stuff and Things,
makers of fine stuff and things.
So the other thing I've been tasked to work on with Stuff and Things that I'm really excited about, I hinted at this last week, is we are in the next couple of days launching the Skunk Works. So some of you listening may already be invited to this project to become ambassadors for the Stuff and Things brand. So I'm pretty excited to work on that and help expand the marketplace for Stuff and Things, get them some more playtime, in the firearm space and more brand awareness, because they're making some really clever stuff and things that I think is going to hit in the market. So that's one of the things I'm working on. Hashtag stuff and things skunkworks.
It's stinky. Get stinky, y'all. Check them out on the social medias and Instagrams. Do they have a YouTube channel? I got to see.
I believe they do, yeah, because Ian was working on a how-to video that was done in like 50s educational video style.
Mm.
He was practicing his non-regional transatlantic diction.
I keep forgetting to pull their theme music off that other episode they were on, but maybe I'll put this note here to remind myself to play it underneath myself, reminding myself to put it here. See, it's meta, ladies and gentlemen. We talk to ourselves and to you because, as I said in earlier episodes, we don't have a fourth wall to break because you're right here with us. All right? You're getting a behind-the-scenes post-production note. Max.
Unless you're Pete and think you get to listen live. That's not happening.
Yeah, no, that don't work. We don't do that. We don't let nobody into the roundtable virtual room to witness the magic that is the New to Pew podcast. No. We gotta clean this up a little bit before it's released to the madness. Yeah,
visitors are not allowed in the asylum.
No. Not at all. Doctor's orders, ladies and gentlemen. Doctor's orders. Speaking of doctor's orders, what do you got this week for a sponsor, Bagman?
How about Pete and Pedro? Mm. Since it's funny, I trim my beard short, and all of a sudden people want to ask me for advice on what to use in their beard. I'm like, I stopped using it because I cut mine so short. But yeah, Pete and Pedro Beard Balm. I use the rugged scent is my favorite. There's a couple of others. There's fresh. There's... I don't remember, but that's okay. Rugged's my favorite.
More so, when I took my shower after work today and sprayed on my Hero, I noted that I'm getting low on Hero. It's time to re-up. So, I'm going to use that discount code to make an order, and you're going to give it to me and the listening audience.
Black Bag 10 gets you 10% off your entire order at PeteandPedro.com. We'll put a link in the show notes as well as the coupon code, so that you can get away with getting that discount without actually having to listen to us ramble on and on about it.
So that's it for this episode. Be sure to check out the sponsors we mentioned earlier. If you want to join the conversation, you can email us at new2pew@blackbagresources.com. You can check out the website, blackbagresources.com. And if you really want to go deep, you can check out the Black Bag Resources Network and become a part of the community. Thanks for listening.